We have any question regarding the topic?
Yeah.
Salaam alaikum. Any optional fasting, does not require, or all optional fasting does not require intention form before Fajr. Only the obligatory fasting. Only the obligatory fasting, which is fasting of Ramadan or Qadha, recovery, or kafara, or yani, nazar, fasting which made up out of all. Then this requires intention from the night. But any optional fasting, the like of Ashura, Yom Arafah, 10 days of Shawwal, Mondays and Thursdays, now the whole month of Ramadan, the month of Sha'ban, whatsoever, this you don't need to have the intention from night, but from any time. But the only condition is that you did not, and you must not have eaten or drunk. Or and he did anything which is considered to be a nullifier of fasting. Wallah. Like we have now questions from internet, you please send them. We just said that, as Rasulullah Sallam said, it is a cause of forgiveness for the whole previous year, the sins of whole previous year. Now, when you do a worship that doesn't find any sins for you to remove, what will happen? It will go like that? No. Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Furqan, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا. Except for those who repent, do good deed, believe and do good deed, then Allah Ta'ala turned their sins to hasanat. So if the sins are turned to hasanat, what about the hasanat you do? Fasting one day takes you away from Jahannam 70 years, yani distance of 70 years. And also it will be saved for you as a reward. Now, here is a question from the net. Assalamu alaikum. I didn't fast last Ramadan due to a stomach illness, and now I started to pick up my days, but at the same time I want to fast Ashura days. What should I do? Because I hear different fatwas about this matter, and I don't know which one I should follow. Jazakumullah khair. Ameen wa iyaakum. Aisha radiallahu anha, as it is authentically reported from her, that she did not use to make up the days of Ramadan except next Sha'ban, just before Ramadan. Now, do you expect Aisha not to fast these days? She told us the hadith, I just recited the hadith of Aisha on fasting Ashura. Do you think that Aisha did not used to fast Ashura, 6 days of Shawwal, Arafah, etc., etc.? She used to. So it means that it is permissible to fast the optional days, especially those days which determined with date, like 9th of Dhul Hijjah. It's only 1/9 on Dhul Hijjah. 10th of Muharram. There is only 1/10 on Muharram. And there is 1 Dhul Hijjah in the year. 1 Muharram in the year. So you cannot make it later on. But the days that you have from Ramadan, you still can make them later on. So fast until the 9th, until the 8th. Fast as a make up days of Ramadan. On the 9th, make the intention to be for Ashura. For Tasu'a and the 10th for Ashura. Yani 9th and 10th, fast them with the intention for Ashura. Wallahu a'lam. And then resume your other days. Other question here says, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah reward you. Ameen. With the best and all those in the room and in the masjid. Ameen. Should we fast the day before Ashura and the day after, or just one of these days? If we want to fast this blessed day of Ashura, as I said, the best fasting of Ashura is 9th and 10th. That is the best. The second level is 10th and 11th. The third is 10th alone. And you have the choice. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. Another question from Hamza says, can one do sajdat tilawa during the prohibited times? Yes, sajdat tilawa is not a prayer. What is prohibited during those times is the prayer. Is the prayer. Not the sujood. Sujood is not a prayer. Sujood tilawa, sujood shukr is permissible. Sujood shukr, when you are given news of something good, you prostrate, whether you are on tahara or not, whether to the qibla or not, whether a time which is forbidden or not, you do sujood, no problem. Not. Beautiful, you have a question. And Ben Khalid, you please quick.
You know, sometimes Friday coincides with the 9th of Muhammad. So what's the best position here to do? Is it the 9th and the 10th or the 10th of May?
In regard to Friday and Saturday, Friday, all the ulama agree that it's not to be fasted alone. Saturday, there are different opinions in regard. Some ulama, they say, should not be fasted except if it is obligatory fasting, whether alone or with the day before or after. Other opinion of ulama say that Saturday is like Friday, not to be fasted alone. But if you fast Friday and Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday, would be okay. And the Jumhur of Ulama say, Saturday is like any other day. You can fast it, even if it is alone. The best opinion that I take, from amongst the opinions of the Ulama, is the opinion that says, Saturday is like Friday. What is not allowed is to fast it alone. With some proof that support it. One is the hadith of Aisha. When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came home and found her fasting, he asked her, did you fast the day before, meaning Thursday? She said, no. He asked her, are you going to fast the day after, which is Saturday? She said, no. He said, then break your fasting. So this means that fasting Saturday along with Friday, it's okay. The second is hadith of Salama that says, he used to fast from 1 month, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and from the other month, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, as 3 days of the month. The third supporting evidence for this is this hadith of today, of Ashura. The Prophet ﷺ said, and in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, Khalifu al-Yahud, oppose the Yahud. How to oppose the Yahud? He said, fast one day before it or one day after. So, the Ashura is something special for Yahud. We do fast it because of and we distinguish ourselves from the Yahud by adding one day. Same thing with Saturday. Now, if Ashura comes as Sunday, Sunday, the 10th is Sunday, and someone wants to fast Sunday and Monday. It's fine. Sah. La, he wants to fast 9th and 10th. So, he will...
It's Friday. 9th is Friday. 10th is...
La. If Ashura is Sunday, so, and he wants to fast the 9th and 10th, then he will fast Saturday and Sunday. No problem. No problem at all. If Ashura is Saturday, still no problem. You can fast Friday and Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday. If Ashura is Friday, what do you do? What do you do? Here, you can't have the choice of fasting Ashura alone. Because Ashura alone, again, the ulama have different opinions. Some of them said, although it is on Friday, but when Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned that to Aisha, it wasn't a day which itself to be fasting. Now, some of the ulama said when Rasulullah ﷺ told Aisha not to fast it, because Friday doesn't have a cause of fasting, doesn't have a reason for fasting. Not like, for example, Thursday. Thursday, there is a reason to fast it. As Rasulullah ﷺ said, that the records of deeds are raised to Allah Ta'ala. There is a cause, there is a reason. Monday, because Rasulullah ﷺ was born on Monday. Now, etc., etc. They say because it's not a particular day to be fasted, then it's okay. Even if it is single. Friday alone on Ashura. But we don't recommend it. Neither Friday nor Saturday to be fasted alone, even if it is Ashura or Yom Arafah. If, for example, Yom Arafah is Friday, some of the ulama said it is allowed to fast alone. But some others said no, better to fast one day before. After you can't, because after is the Eid. Saturday, same thing. If Saturday is, if Yom Arafah is Saturday, and you want to fast Yom Arafah. Some of the Al-Ilm said, because you are not fasting Saturday, you are fasting Yom Arafah, then no problem. Some others said, better to add one day before. And that's the opinion that I take. I don't say it is forbidden to fast Friday alone when it is Ashura or Arafah. I don't say it is forbidden to fast alone. Because you are not fasting it as a Friday or as a Saturday. But you are fasting it as Arafah or as Ashura. However, the opinion that I take from amongst the opinions of the ulama is, yarhamukallah, is to fast Friday if it is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, or if it is 10th of Muharram, and a day added to it. And a day added to it. Of course, on Arafah, the day before it. On Ashura, either the day before it or the day after it. That's the best opinion that I found and I take, wallahu a'lam. Bint Khalid says here, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My question is regarding inheriting from the kafirun. My wife, or Bin Khalid, my wife, her family are Christians, and they will leave behind inheritance. What should be done with it? As I have a Muslim, cannot, as I hear, a Muslim cannot inherit from the kuffar. Yeah, that's hadith. لا يتوارث أهل ملتان شكتا. Two people from two different religions cannot inherit each other. Now, what can you do? What is the solution it is that you ask them now to give you a gift, even if it is to be collected after they die. Write it down, both witnesses, that this amount of money or this house or this land for my son, my daughter, like that. No problem. But as an inheritance, no, it is not allowed. It is not allowed. Wallahu a'lam. And the hadith, لا وصية لوارث, is not applicable here. There is no will to be given for the inheritor. It's not applicable here because now he is not inheritor. He is not considered to be inheritor. Because they are of two different religions. So no one is inheritor of the other. Wallahu a'lam. Ameen. طيب. Last question from the falto. What is the ruling on the person who says, Inshallah, I will do such and such, when they plan to do this thing immediately? Is this something which is recommended, or do we say it when we plan to do something tomorrow or later? This is good question. Now, the next second, the next moment, is it later or not later? It is later. Because you cannot guarantee that you stay alive until next fraction of second. So you always say inshallah. Inshallah is not to be said only in dua. When you say to somebody, may Allah bless you inshallah. That's haram. That's not correct. But I will tell you in a second, inshallah. No problem. No problem. Because you are now hanging your ability to the will of Allah. But in dua, you are hanging the acceptance of dua to the will of Allah. And that's wrong. Meaning, it is like if you are saying that if Allah will, in Arabic it means that if Allah can give, means if Allah can give, as the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no one to force Allah to do or not to do. So you only be firm when you supplicate. You don't use inshallah. But when you inform, you say inshallah. You say inshallah. We said that was last question, but okay, we'll take this. It is very easy, alhamdulillah, to fast during winter. How many days at one go can fast, then stop, then resume the fast? Up to you. Up to you. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best fasting is in the month of Muharram. So if you want to fast 10 days and then break, 3 days and then break, up to you. Up to you. You want to fast one day and break one day, up to you. You want to fast like in row 20 days, 25 days, and then break the rest of the days, up to you. There is nothing specific determined. Wallahu a'lam. Now, طيب خلينا ناخذ نوقف التسجيل. في سؤال؟ Okay. Of what?
The question about the 9th and the 10th, if it coincides the 9th with Friday. Yeah. The reason why we said this, because obviously Friday is considered to be Mahdi day also for the Muslims.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. And Saturday, obviously, with some of the hadith, is the opinion of the majority of the scholars, because it's different from the Yahud. That's the two things. Now come into the issue where if the, let's say, the temple.
Now what is the opinion of the majority of the scholars?
They say Tufafir. I mean, the majority, they say it's Tufafir. The only thing obviously is heavy, but the Prophet was with Umm Salama.
No, but the hadith we mentioned earlier,
yeah,
in regard to Ashura, he said when he was told on the last year of his life, the Yahud, yani fast this day.
Oh, day
he said, yeah, he said, then if we stay alive until next Muharram, we'll fast one day before, he said the ninth. And then in the other hadith of Ibn Abbas, fast the day before or the day after.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say here, if it coincides, let's say, the 10th of Muharram will be, obviously it's not the case of this year, but we just assume inshallah in the future, so the person knows exactly what to do. Now, if it's the 10th of Muharram, it's a Saturday.
No.
Now, which is better? The best we know is to fast the 9th and the 10th. That is the first.
Yes.
Now, here in this situation, because the 9th is a Friday, is it better here now in this situation to fast the 10th and the 11th, because simply the 10th is a Saturday and the 11th is basically it's a Sunday, rather than to fast the
10th? The best is to fast the 9th and 10th,
even though it's a Friday.
Well, Rasulullah told Aisha when she was fasting Friday, he told her, are you intending to fast tomorrow, which is Saturday? She said no. He said, then break your fasting. So Friday added to Saturday, no problem. No problem. This will take both days out of the forbidden. So and then we go back to the hadith of Rasulullah ibn Abbas that Rasulullah wished to be alive next year to fast, particularly the 9th. So then we say it is better to fast Friday and Saturday, if Friday is 9th and Saturday is 10th, than to fast Saturday and Sunday because it is 10th and 11th. Naam, Allah Ra'ad. Naam. Regarding the start and end of fasting, according to the different time zones, like when you go on plane, sometimes you go, if you go to the east, it will be shorter. If you fly to the west, it will be longer. Now, you are permitted and recommended, in fact, to break your fasting during the travel because of this type of confusions and troubles. But if you want to fast, up to you. If you fly, then once you see the sun sets, that is the time when you break your fasting. And once you see the sun sets, it's impossible to see it again. It's impossible to see it again because you are either flying to the east, and once the sun sets, it's impossible you see it because it's east. You are going east and east and east. But if it is disappeared because of clouds, and you thought that it is, it's already set, and you break your fasting, and then you saw it, the ulama say you have to hold, and you have to make up that day. If it is one of the days which fasting is obligatory, you have to make up that day. Because although you are not in sin, but it is not counted at the same time. Wallah. Any more? Right. Go ahead.
Regarding to the 3 days, what some people will do, they fast like the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th. When you ask them, some of them, they go back to the hadith of the Prophet and says, like you know, the hadith, like Allah will protect you from the hellfire if you fast 3 days of each month.
That's 3 days of each month, clarified as in the...
which is 12th of this.
Clarified in the hadith of Abu Hurairah that it is the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Not the 9th and 10th and 11th. But we say, if you want, it is generous. And one day fasting protect you from the fire distance of 70 years. No problem, fast any day of Muharram. And also, the Prophet ﷺ said that the best of fasting is during, the best of the option of fasting is the fasting during the month of Muharram. No problem. But why particularly 9, 10, and 11? Why? And that shows that you are, you know, you're playing. But with whom? Do you want to convince me or you want Allah Ta'ala to be pleased with you? If you want to convince me, it's up to you. Whether I'm convinced or not, it's not going to make any difference. But if you want to please Allah, you have to know that Allah Ta'ala knows everything. So the Prophet ﷺ told you this. Do not try to make some sneaky ways. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an.
No, because some of them, their argument is not just regarding this. Some of them, their argument, they say with the Islamic calendar, sometimes it's not accurate. Sometimes they may say, this is the first day of such month.
Then take my advice. Take my advice and fast from the third day of Muharram. So to come out of of the confusion whether Muharram entered correctly or not, fast from the third all the way to seventh. Will he do that? They don't, because they like food. They don't want to do that. He wants to do his hope based on his excuses. Now that's wrong. Now if he doesn't know whether the month entered correctly or not, the Prophet ﷺ said, "As-sawmu yawma tasawmun wal-fitru yawma tafṭirun," meaning the majority or the jama'ah. The fasting is in the days when the jama'ah fast, and the breaking the fast is in the day when they all break the fast, are considered days of breaking fast. Now, if he goes and sights the moon himself, that's a different case. But he doesn't sight the moon. And at the same time, he doesn't want to take what the majority takes. That's a kind of, I'm wondering, what's this? He doesn't sight the moon, and he still suspects the others wrong. How come? Yes, if he himself sighted the moon, even if it is the moon of Ramadan, and he is 100% sure that he saw the moon, then he has to fast. If he doesn't fast, based on the majority did not fast, he's sinner. I mean in Ramadan. An example. You, Abu Imran, went on the 29th of Sha'ban, and you saw the moon. You know how it is, and you know the technique of sighting the moon. And you saw the moon. But the government here announced that no one witnessed, so tomorrow is the 30th of Sha'ban. Will you be tomorrow, will you consider tomorrow 30th of Sha'ban? If you consider 30th of Sha'ban, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Because, as the ulama say, what is found certain cannot be cancelled by the uncertain. So if you are certain that it is tomorrow Ramadan, how come you go by the uncertainty of the majority? Oh, because it's the majority. You say, no, not in this. You have to fast. Wallah. Now,
can you encourage your children to fast on Yom HaSurah? For example, say the 9th and the 10th. And say they're 7-year-old or they're 8. Well, if you encourage them and they do fast, would the parents get the reward as you out the parents? Do they get the reward for that?
Of course. And let me ask you, when you buy them clothes, are you rewarded for that? When you buy them food or sweets, Are you rewarded? Of course. What about when you yani make them worship and yani exercise the worship? And one of the great worships. How come you are not rewarded? You are rewarded. And the woman raised the child to Rasulullah and said, asked, is there any hajj for this? He said, yes, and you get the reward. لا الولد من كسب أبي هذا له مفهوم آخر. لكن يعني now when you encourage your child to do any يعني worships, are you rewarded? Of course you are rewarded. Of course you are rewarded. What type of reward? Some people ask. What type of reward? Allah knows best. Why you want it limited? Let's say you are rewarded like in one day fasting, but Allah Ta'ala wants to give you a reward of 10-day fasting. You are limiting it. You don't limit it. You leave it for Allah. They declared? They already? Huh? Okay, خلاص. If they declared, it means that they have cited the moon. He said that the Mufti declared that this year, Ashura is on Tuesday. So the 9th is Monday. Not according to the calendar. According to the moon cycle. So they declared it. Okay. Okay, so خلاص. Then, that means that it was witnessed.
See, that brings us to that question.
What is that?
A lot of people, that's their argument when they put the 3 days. They say, just to make sure that I don't miss it whether either way.
Lala, this is itself is a matter of confusion.
Do we call it tanaqqur?
Tanaqqur, of course.
That's what we call it, yeah?
Yeah.
Because I remember having an argument with somebody, not an argument, but discussing it, and he said, no, this is too extreme. I said,
it's too extreme, true.
No, I said to him, this is tanaqqur. He says, this is too extreme. I'm fasting.
And la. It is too extreme from him, because yani he wants to be more safe than what Rasulullah guided him to be safe.
But he you know, they're saying I'm not going against the Sunnah, because we say him,
he is going against
the Sunnah.
La, it's
2 days.
He is going against the Sunnah. He is going against the Sunnah, because the Sunnah is, as I said, the Prophet said, الصوم يوم تصومون والفطر يوم تفطرون. If he is going to disrespect the scholars and rulers, he is going against the Sunnah. If now the Mufti, and we all know that the Mufti, Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, may Allah preserve him and reward him, is blind. He is not the one who sighted the moon. And even if he was the one who sighted the moon, he is enough, yani, trustworthy for me to take. If Rasulullah took it from Arabi, a man who lives in the desert, he doesn't know him, he just asked him, do you bear witness that there's no one worthy of worship but Allah? He said, yes. He said, do you bear witness that I'm Rasulullah? He said, yes. He said, okay, take his witnessing for setting the moon and declare tomorrow Ramadan obligatory. So how come these people come and it is not tanattu'? It is the major tanattu'. It is the major thing. If the government is the Muslim ruler or the scholar said that they have witnessed the moon, then we have to take it. Maybe, as I said, let him go inside the moon. If he says maybe. Why he doesn't go inside the moon? He doesn't want to go in the desert at this time. He wants to rest, he wants to play, he wants to this. But when it comes to the worship, he ignores the scholars, the rulers, and he wants to do whatever he likes. And that's tanattu'. That's not. Naam. Salah? Fadda.
Okay, so, come late for Salah somehow, okay? If I understand, you catch the mass, you become part of the Salah.
Naam.
I just missed the rukuk, okay? So, only sujood is left. You better to join the sujood, or to wait for maybe the second jama'ah.
There are different opinions on this issue. and different issues in this topic. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَأَتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْشُونَ فَأَتُوهَا عَلَيْكُمْ السَّكِينَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْشُونَ وَلَا تَأْتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْعَونَ. When you come to the prayer, you come walking, don't hasten. And whatever you catch, you join. And whatever you miss, you make up. Now he said, whatever. Now, he directed this with waw al-jama'ah. إِذَا جِئْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ, like that. This means the plural. Not singular. He did not say, when one of you comes. Although, it was found from his, yani from him, sometimes he say, when one of you. When, like that. If one of you, when one of you. But in this particular thing, he said, when you all come to the salah, you come walking, don't hesitate. And whatever you find, you join. Whatever you miss, you make up. Now, this means that one came to the masjid and he was alone and found the jama'ah in sujood or in the tashahud, last tashahud. Should he join or he wait? Maybe someone else comes and they pray new jama'ah from the beginning. Or another case, two came. Should they join or they both? Now sure, definite that they are going to have another jama'ah. Jama'ah, not alone. Not single. Will they, yani it is better to wait and the imam until he finishes and then they start their prayer as jama'ah, or to join? The hadith says join. And the hadith used the pronoun of plural, not singular. Join. So you have to join. And the opinion of the scholars, very respected and noble scholars, who said, no, you wait, has no dalil for that. They have no, this is their opinion, but there is no dalil. Now. Sorry. Yeah, now we have joining the jama'ah and considering the rak'ah. You only consider the rak'ah by the ruku'ah, by any ruku'ah. Although some scholars said no, by the fatiha, like say Imam al-Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari, in his sahih, he said no. If you miss standing, you miss the rak'ah, even if you join ruku'ah. But this goes, goes against the other opinions. And also there are hadith that proves the other opinions. The like of the man who came while yani entered the masjid when the Prophet ﷺ was in ruku', so he was afraid that if he come to the row, the Prophet ﷺ would already be raised up from ruku'. So he did takbiratul ihram there and he went for ruku' and walked in ruku' position. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after salah, he did not tell him, you go and do another rak'ah, because you missed the rak'ah. Because he definitely did not catch the fatiha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him not to come back to that thing, to make rak'ah from the gate and walk in rak'ah position, or even after raising up you walk. No, but you walk until you join the saf, the row. If you catch them in the rak'ah, alhamdulillah. If you don't, خلاص, you join them and do whatever of the rest of the prayer. No. Oh, yeah.
There are many benefits in this. The other benefit is the jama'ah. Normally, the second jama'ah is supposed to take permission from the imam itself.
No, the second jama'ah doesn't need to take permission. Why?
Because the imam of the masjid, some of them, they can, even some of them are obviously late.
I know.
Okay. And their argument also on this, they said even if you think you're allowed to have some, and you should really, the first thing you need to do is to ask permission.
Where's the dalil? Okay, I understand. Now, I understand their opinion when they say it is prohibited to make another jama'ah. Right. Although I disagree, but I understand. Because they say it wasn't found. Okay. But where is their dalil to say take permission to make the second jama'ah? When they say, yani, is it yani, a right of the imam, something for him, belongs to him? Or it is a right for the salah? If it is a right for the imam, then that's a different thing. Where is the dalil that it's a right for the imam? The imam, إِنَّمَا جُعْلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُتَمَّ بِهِ, inside the prayer. Not before, not after. He's imam of the salah, that's it. So inside the prayer, we have to follow him. But outside the salah, no. One second. But to say that you have to take permission, I myself first time hear it, but even if yani some of the ulama said it, where is their dalil? Where is the dalil for seeking permission from the imam to hold another jama'ah? There is no dalil. The other thing is it allowed, is it permissible to do other jama'ah or not? They yani said, no, it is not allowed, and they brought some hadith that Rasulullah sallam came one day late and he found the jama'ah finished. He went and Anas, etc., etc. But we say, okay, we have other dalil. When the man came and found the jama'ah finished, Rasulullah sallam said to the sahaba, who donate, who give sadaqah to this man by praying with him? Abu Bakr Siddiq, not anyone else, Abu Bakr Siddiq went and joined him. They say, okay, second jama'ah is allowed if we have the exact same case. No, this is Zahiriyya. This is Zahiriyya. This is the Zahiriyya. Zahiriyya means to take the apparent exact case to take the ruling. SubhanAllah, that's not correct. Rasulullah said, if he wants that to be, he should have said like that man when he told him, and don't do it again. Khalas, he finished it. Now this one, he did not say, and don't do it again. Or only in this type of yani prayer. He didn't say, he didn't do that. He allowed him to, nah? And even, yani, yeah, yani, the ulama say that this is a clear dalil, clear evidence for the permissibility of joining the or the second jama'ah. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah? Okay, go ahead.
And this is a sensitive one. You mentioned something about to be proud in order to have your identity as a Muslim to wear your Muslim clothes and things.
No.
Now, situation, unfortunately, here in South, you do have some places where they impose on you, and sometimes it happens from some brothers who are practicing, they impose on you to wear not a clothes. If you were a clothes, they say, it's not acceptable in this place of work. And they ask you to wear this and wear your trousers, shorts, or suit, or whatever it is. Sometimes it even gets to the stage where some of the brothers will try, okay, because they need a job, they actually raise their trousers a little bit above their ankle, and still an issue. What is better for these brothers to do?
Better to fear Allah.
Now the brothers who are working.
Yes, for them better to fear Allah. Now if he takes it as yani yani something obligatory, then he should not leave it. He should fear Allah and stay on it. Now, if he fears that, oh, I might lose my job, and if I lose my job, I might not be able to stay in Saudi Arabia, I say, okay, now we have something called Masalih and Mafasid. Masalih and Mafasid has a fiqh, has an understanding. Every Muslim needs to have it, to know how to come out of the, you know, to balance the situations and how to come out of the problems. Now, Now, for example, I go to the West for teaching the brothers. Okay, I usually go with my normal clothes, as you see. If, for example, they say no one is allowed to come except in trousers and yani not in this Islamic clothes. Now, where is the maslaha and mafsada? I hate to wear those clothes, even trousers, normal trousers, even with long shirt. I don't like it. I myself don't like it. I can wear the longi, the foot, or the lower garment. I have no problem to wear lower garment because it is from the Muslim clothes. No problem for me. In Yemen, in South Saudi, Somalia, in Bangladesh, in India, they wear it. Muslims wear it. No problem for me. No problem for me to wear the Pakistani, kurta? Sirwan and kurta. Yeah, no problem, because it's still a Muslim dressing. But I have a problem to wear trousers and even long shirt on it. I don't care. I don't like it. I don't say it is haram, but I don't like it. Now, if they say you can't come to teach unless you wear this, I myself say I will wear it. Why? Because now, where is the maslaha and mafsada? To leave those brothers without nobody teaching them? That's not correct. Now we have maslaha and mafsada. We have to balance. Now, like this one now. Your work says you cannot wear top. You cannot wear short trousers. You have to wear complete suit and like that. If this you have, is something obligatory but still can be avoided, meaning that it will make your boss angry, that's it. He will not give you your convenience. No problem, you have to sacrifice. What I mean by he doesn't give you your convenience, for example, he doesn't give you promotions, or he delays you, he puts others before you, he doesn't give you permissions if he wants to go today, or if you apply for holidays, he refuses it, rejected. Say this is inconvenience. Now, if you can't live with that, then it is better to stay in your top. But if you can't, either because of your family's annoyed and they are putting a lot of pressure over you, they want to go, they want holiday, or even for you, you are financially getting very tight and you want some promotion and he will not give you the promotion except if you obey him, even if it is not documented, then I say you have to balance the maslaha and mafsada. We cannot give a ruling for all like that. You do this and all should do this. That's not correct. We say it is not recommended for a Muslim to wear the dress of the kuffar. Forget now about those who say, it become now common even in the Muslim countries. That's not correct. Okay, we say to the Muslim woman, you should not uncover like the cover woman. And they come and say, but it is common now in the whole Muslim world. Wherever you go to Syria, you go to Egypt, you go to Morocco, you go to Algeria, you go to Pakistan, you go to Bangladesh, you go to India. Muslim women, majority of Muslim women, do not cover. So it becomes khalas, not special for the kuffar. You say, no, akhi, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because Muslims doing the wrong does not make it right. Does not make it right. Wrong is wrong. Still stay wrong. Now, but some wrong is worse than other. Muslim not covering is worse than a Muslim man who is wearing trousers. And both are wrong, but that is worse. That is worse. So we say, okay, you have to evaluate it. You have to know what is the best way and best thing to do. based on taqwa, not based on hawa. Based on yani fearing Allah, not based on your hope and your wish. No.
Negotiated for changing
room in the office. Jazakallah khair. But we still say, we still don't say that it is any public matter upon him. Allah said he is going to work. I understand you. I understand you, yeah. I myself, when I was a technician, I used to go, and they forced me to wear overall, the coveralls. And it is even worse than the suit. Much worse than the suit. One second. What is the difference? So what is that? I say, Jazakallah khair, this is ijtihad from him. But we cannot say that it is yani, the case that yani, everybody should do tech, yani, clothes with you to place of work and change their. And it's sometimes going to be difficult and be seen like tanatta. Naam? But yani if he, for his case, doing that because of that case, that's up to him. That's up to him. Naam? Jazakallah khair. He would be rewarded. But I mean, it is not yani, necessarily that everyone goes and does the same thing. But I mean, yani, as the Prophet said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مُسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. As much as you can. As I said, that I used to be forced to wear the overalls. I go with it because I'm a technician. And I carry in my bag, my thobe. When the salah time comes, I put on my thobe over the coveralls. And I pray with it. Alhamdulillah. Yani, but I mean, yani, one can find a way. If he asks Allah and he does his best, he will find a way. Allah.
Last question.
Go ahead.
Now.
I just asked what's the line of you compromising one religion? You mentioned all of these things. And it was different for every individual to compromise his religion. Are they compromising their religion to take the coat and to wear the suit? Or to
I tell you something. This is different from a person to another. And for example, Sheikh Abdulaziz al-Sheikh, Sheikh Fawzan, if he's told to go to the West for treatment or for whatsoever, and they told him that you will have to wear suit. You think he's going to do it?
I don't think so.
I am sure he's not going to do it. Sheikh Uzaymin, when they told him that he has to take the chemotherapy, he asked, because he heard that it may cause the hair drop. He said, no, I don't want to take it. I want to keep on my beard. To meet Allah with my beard. So, yani, but we cannot say that everybody doesn't take chemotherapy because, nah, it's different from one person to another. The iman, amount of iman is different. And that's why Allah Ta'ala tests everyone based on his iman. What I can do, yani I cannot blame those who go to the West, du'at, go to the West and, yani, trouser and shirt. I know how his iman is. I don't say that my iman is stronger, la la la. But at least this is the thing that I choose for myself. I choose it for myself. I'll be patient if they do anything to me. Now, until I find that I cannot cope with it. Now, either I stop going and teaching, or I will take the other choice. Go with it. Allah knows best what will happen then. But I say, it's not necessarily what you can do that everyone must do. That's not, it's not only just Allah.
These things are different. I understand it goes according to the taqwa of each person. But what happens in some of the situations, these things escalate to other things where it becomes like, as you said earlier, where you see the Muslims, they do not have a strong identity, and you ask yourself, why not? And I give you an example. When I speak to some people who've been in Saudi before us for quite a long time, Saudi was not like this. Like, let's speak of, for instance, about Jeddah. Jeddah was not like this. Jeddah was a little bit better than what it is near. Speaking from the Islamic angle, like, and I see it myself within the 8 years that I've been here. Before, you wouldn't see many restaurants, open court restaurants, where people can take each other all the time. Now, it's getting to be a little bit easier, where you find it a lot. And then you find, unfortunately, I mean, I do speak to some brothers where they're really practicing brothers, mashallah, but they go to these places. Then, personally, my view for this, I say, we are promoting this, because by me going this, I'm helping them. By me not going this, maybe these people who are promoting the open space of courts, food and things, they start thinking, well, I'm not making too much money. Let me rethink about it and bring it back the way it was. Allah, that's the same thing with the situation.
If you go with this way of thinking, Jazakallah khair. May Allah Ta'ala reward you, even if it doesn't change the situation. But may Allah Ta'ala reward you, because we find that the Sahaba, like Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhumah, said that we used to abandon a lot of halal things, afraid to fall into the haram things. So it's okay, we say okay, but did all the Sahaba avoid the halal things? So Ibn Umar, maybe alone and somewhere, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari used to even blame others, not, this is based on your iman. We ask you for the minimum. The maximum you should be looking for. You are courageous for it, but what is obligatory is the minimum. The minimum. Now, even when we talk about dressing, I go to the West and I teach in the mosque. Maybe one or two are wearing Muslim clothes. Not necessarily top, but Muslim clothes. Majority are not. Have I ever blamed them or talked against them? No. We courage, but we don't force. If it is not obligatory, we don't force nobody. Even when it is obligatory, we don't force, but we encourage people to do it. Now, and I was thinking, how many scholars in the world? Many. Many scholars. Okay? Go to any Muslim country today and see most of Tulab al-Ilm, what they wear. They were exactly the Saudi clothes, top and this ghutra, red ghutra. When you ask them why, they say, well, because Sheikh bin Baz used to wear it. Okay, but now you go to Egypt and see the mufti and they don't wear it. They wear this coat and the turban. Right? But people love the scholars that they trust. Did Sheikh bin Baz say, wear this? Never ever said it. Never ever said it. But that's how people do. You go to Yemen, see the mashayikh, what do they wear? Have you ever seen mashayikh from Yemen? What do they wear? Top and the ghutra, red ghutra. Sheikh Muqbil didn't used to wear it. He used to wear turban. I don't mean that they don't trust him, but They go with, okay, the majority, Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Abdelaziz, Sheikh Fuzan, Sheikh. This is the way that people you go to Jordan, see the mashayikh there in Jordan, what do they wear? Thawb and ghutra. Huh? Some of them red, some of them white. Like Ali Hassan usually wears the red. Oh, this name now, somebody come and say, oh, Muhammad al-Malik is recommending Ali Hassan. Take it from me, I recommend Ali Hassan. Go and criticize. Salim al-Hilali wears red one. Again, another name they're going to criticize me for mentioning. Because these days we are... Yahya Hujuri, okay, again. Whatsoever names. They, you see them wearing like this, you know? No one, none of the ulama told them to wear it. Sheikh Albani didn't used to wear it. Sheikh Albani used to wear only the kufi. But this is how people, yani, and it's not yani, something to be dictated or something to be forbidden. But yani, when they see their ulama go like that, they go like that. So, what I mean to say is, we do not say it is forbidden, but we recommend the other way. That's it.
You know the reason why I mentioned this? I mentioned it because we're in a country where I'm sure many brothers came here with the intention, never thought in their life that somebody would say, do not wear this. Like, do not wear
fire.
Soap and wear something. Because it's something, and I even heard recently that they have some compounds where they will not allow a woman with a abaya. And I, personally, I don't know, I didn't come across of it, but I heard it.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
But this is the things which, what I'm trying to say, alhamdulillah, Saudi is still probably the strongest country Islamically. But what I'm trying to say, leaving this, not trying to stop it, is going to escalate to more evil slowly.
Sorry, but how to stop it? How to stop it?
We need that wisdom. We need people to teach us how to stop it. Because
I tell you how. The scholars already said how. When you know, when you come to know, it's a compound that does not allow the Muslim woman to cover here in Saudi Arabia, all what you need to do is write. Write to the scholars. And you will see the result. But how come the scholars or the rulers know that this is not happening or happening and people do not like it? I don't mean that if the rulers know that they like it, they'll leave it. No. But they may think that this compound is only for non-Muslims. Right? As what I expect. Usually these compounds are not based on religion, based on nationalities. And you go and see a compound, majority of the residents are carrying Western nationalities. Huh? Yeah. No, but I mean, it is made for them. It is made for them to give them their privacy, to protect them, and to protect the whole society from the evil that they are going to do, not to be seen by the normal people, common people. Now, if you are British and this compound is for Westerners and you want to live there, they may tell you that you cannot enter with this cloth, your wife cannot enter with this covering. Now, is this the ruling here? No. Take it from me, all the compounds are not allowed to do that. There is no compound here in Saudi Arabia is allowed to forbid the Islamic hijab. But I may tell you that they officially may allow the uncovering, but they cannot force the covered woman to uncover, like France, for example. We don't have this here. But I say it's not official.
It is
a practice. It is a practice. It's a wrong practice. Now, when you raise it to the authorities, they will stop it. They will stop it. What I mean by they will stop it, they will not stop the uncovering, but they will stop the force of the force to uncover. Yeah. Wallahu a'lam.
Last question.
Last question, and we'll not take dars today because it's close to Asr.
If an imam makes a mistake, that mistake went wrong. But the mistake,
like today, what is today?
Was that a meal of food?
Okay, in the recitation.
Yeah, the recitation. Sorry.
Because I didn't do sujood, I was confused, or maybe...
A mistake in the speech.
Okay.
Now, we understand if the mistake doesn't change the meaning, it's allowed, like, to leave the imam carry on.
In the recitation?
Yeah.
La, la.
It doesn't make the sense.
La. In the recitation, whether to change or not to change. If it is a mistake in the Quran...
Vowels. I'm talking about vowels.
Whatever mistake, the ma'mum should correct the imam.
Yani,
for example, I said, no, forget about Zarabiyu. Zarabiyu, forget the whole ayah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, about the vowels. Yani, like, for example, I said, Samawata, or Samawatu wal Ard. Now, there is a vowel mistake. No, it doesn't change the meaning, but it's a Quran. We have to correct it. If you know, the correct vowel, you have to correct me. As you say, Samawati.
What I'm trying to say, my question, if you correct it, but the imam still hasn't corrected himself, do you still correct, or do you stop being corrected?
Even if it changes the meaning. If you correct him and he still resign again after you correct him with the wrong way, you just leave him. Because we're not going to make the salah and a place of whistling. And you see some people again and again and again, 5-10 times. Maybe the imam thinks that this is the correct way. He's sure that it is the correct way. He's wrong, but he needs to be taught. Teaching him is not inside the salah. Inside salah is correction. You corrected him, he didn't take the correction. It means that he understands it this way. So better to leave it.
And the proper way.
And that's Afwan. That's why the ulama say, for example, if the imam, instead of sitting in the second sajda, in the second rak'ah, instead of sitting for the tashahud, in the last rak'ah, let's say, asr on the fourth rak'ah, and instead of sitting, he still thinks that it's the third, and he stands up, but you are 100% sure that it is the fourth. You correct him, don't you? He says, subhanAllah. If he accepts, Alhamdulillah. If he doesn't accept and he stood, you don't stand. If you stand, your salah is batil, his salah is right. So you correct him, but you don't follow him on the wrong. You let it go. You sit and let it go. Now.
But the proper way, basically, of correcting someone in the recitation of Imam or something is not straight away as he makes the mistake. You let him go on for, like, you finish the ayah. And then once you start the ayah, you leave him, then you bring him back. Is that the correct?
Of course, because he's not going to hear you. If he's reciting, and you are correcting, he cannot take it. But once he stops, then you correct. Between the two ayahs, then you correct.
Yeah, because sometimes some people, what they do, the minute the imam has made that mistake, they correct him straight.
Yeah.
And that creates confusion for the imam. Because sometimes he may come.
Now, and another thing, some people, they are far away from the imam, the other in. And they correct, and they hear that someone behind the imam is correcting. So the imam gets confused. He hears some sound, and a voice from far away, and a voice from behind him. He gets confused. Who's right now? And the problem is that person hears. There is a sound from the middle, from the center of the masjid. And this could be more clear to the imam than his, but he insists that I am the one who corrected. And I said this in my masjid many times. Ya Ikhwan, please. If the imam says a mistake in the recitation, you correct from the far away, no problem. But when you hear someone nearer than you correcting, do not keep repeating it, because I cannot take it. I cannot know where I am. But subhanAllah, people just go by. Oh, mashallah. After rising from a court? Huh? Ah. Listen to the lecture. Where you bless your hands after rising up from a court? There are different opinions. Some say to the side, some say to the, or on the chest. Both of them are using the same hadith to prove their opinion. Both of them. The one who said to the side, they said that the Sahabi said, and when Rasulullah raised up from ruku', he stood until every bone returns back to its place. Like that, literally. Now, those who say to the side, they say its place where normally it is. And of course, normally the hands to the sides.
Skeleton.
Huh?
Like the skeleton.
Yeah. The others say to the place where it was before ruku', which is on the chest. So now, which one are right, which one are wrong? We don't say wrong, but it's ijtihad. Of course, it's wrong ijtihad from one of them. It cannot be both of them. Because they are using the same hadith. One of them must be wrong, one of them must be right. The wrong would be rewarded once, the right one would be rewarded twice. What I take is placing it on the chest because we found other hadith that might support this. Like the hadith where Rasulullah said that we, the prophets, are commanded to place our hands on our chest in the prayer. In the prayer. So, he said in the prayer, whether before ruku' or after. The other ulama said, okay, in the prayer, okay, even in ruku', place it on your chest. I said, no. There is a hadith that says where to place your hand in ruku', in sujood, in sitting. But the area where it is left with no yani clear statement is standing after rising up from ruku'. So we better carry it on the other hadith to bless your hand. But I myself do not consider who places hand to the side as committing a bid'ah. Unfortunately, the ulama who said who places hand on his chest after rising up from ruku' is a committee. That's wrong. To me, that's wrong. Wallahu a'lam.
But the argument here, I think, is the word when they mention in Arabic, fiqariha.
لا, حتى عاد كل فقار إلى موضعه.
The fiqar, they say basically these bones, and the bones go back to it. What
they're saying. No, the problem, not the word fiqar. The problem is in the word mawdi'i.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. When Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned these things, he said, how can Atman ibn Affan radiallahu will forget describing so detailed hadith about the prayer, and he forgets that he put back his right hand over his hand and left hand on his chest. He described it so.
We say the same thing to him. How come Uthman forgets so any particular thing to tell us that when rising up from ruku' he did not place it again back on his chest? He did not say that. Now, who is in need for more clarification? The one who said place it on the chest, or the one who said place it to the side? To me, the one who said place it on the, to the side, because this position, now we are talking about salah, in salah, inside the salah, this position is different from his position in the salah. Even in salatul janazah, where is the place of hands? On the chest. That is the position on standing in the salah, any salah. Salatul Janazah, Salatul Istisqa, Salatul Kusuf, Salatul Khusuf, Salatul any Salah, standing position, the hands is on the chest. whoever, يعني Sheikh Albani says, how come Uthman missed this? I ask him the same question. How come Uthman missed this to describe? That, oh, be careful. Although he placed it on his chest before Ruku', but remember, after Ruku' he did it. This should be the clarification. Not the clarification to be expected. Wallahu a'lam. From London, fresh. Can't it wait another 19 days? I'm gonna be fresh there.
Imran,
now. Yeah, on the hands or the knees, right?
Another issue.
To me, on the hands. I am now with the position of Albani. So nobody say, oh, you are against Albani. Because when I studied, the thing is, the difference between Talib al-Ilm and the common person should choose a alim and follow him. Talib al-Ilm, no. Talib al-Ilm studied the evidences of each alim and come up with the conclusion. Now when I reviewed these hadith, whether the hands were to be placed in right after rising up from Ruku' or on going to sujood, I found that the opinion of placing it on the chest after rising up from Ruku' is the right opinion, and going down on hand is the right opinion, because the hadith is clear. Ibn Qayyim tried to say something. He said, Ibn Qayyim said that, oh, the Sahabi who said that go on your hands, don't go on your knees, he made a mistake, because he wanted to say go on your knees first, but not on your hands first. But he made a mistake and said it the other way. And he said that because the camels go on their hands. When we go back to the whole situation, we find that the knees of the camels, the front, okay? Now, Naam, and the camel goes first on his knees. They say, oh, don't go on your hand. We say, did the camel go on his hand or on his knees? The camel has no hand. Even if we say that the fronts are called hands, did he go on his hand or on his knee when he went down? Knee, not hand. Because if we consider it hands, it's already there on the ground. I never saw a camel standing like this and then go down like that. You know? So the opinion says that go on hands is the proper opinion. Unless if there is a need. If he's old or he's ill, or that's a different case. Normal circumstance that he goes on hands, not on knees. Wallahu a'lam. Abu Umair now. Or Umair.
The question was that in Salah, if a woman is praying, and then during the Salah, she feels the discharge. Number one, should she stop? And if she didn't stop, she carries on. Then after the Salah, she found the discharge to be a white discharge, which is outside her menstrual period. Now, should she do wudu and repeat? Or should she consider that Salah was accepted? Or number three, she should do ghusl?
Now, first of all, we don't say accepted or not accepted. Salah is valid or not valid. Accepted, not accepted, this is up to Allah. But valid or not valid, that we can talk about. Now, discharges are of two types. Like an object, like liquids or stool or something like that. If it is air, then he or she should not come out of Salah unless he hears the sound or smells the smell or finds the smell. If it is liquid, depends on the person case, man or woman.
So woman,
No, one second. Man and woman. Depends on the case. If he is someone who's sick, now, and he has an illness, right? And he knows that sometimes he urine and sneaks, he cannot control it. Then we say that if you come into salah and find that, you continue, you don't come off salah. If you are someone who's sick, as the Prophet ﷺ told Ali radiallahu anhu, when he sent Abu Musa one time, and one time he sent Ammar to ask for him. Now, if he or she is not sick, but he has the feeling that something come out, we say, you don't consider it. You don't come out of the salah just for feeling, because this is from shaitan. If the woman felt that there is some liquid come out of her, right? We say it depends. It depends. If she is now, if she is expecting the menses any moment, like if she's in the very last day of her purifying days, meaning just close to the start of the menses, then we say, if you expect that this is liquids that not normally discharge from you, then you have to break the salah and go and check. But if it is not close to the menses, right? Or if she is a woman that always having discharges, then she doesn't break the salah. Finish the salah and go check. If it was menses, then, or if it is the yellowish color or reddish color that is connected to the menses, then it is, salah is invalid, right? But if it is normal liquid, like what she said, white liquid is not considered. Some of the ulama said it is, it nullifies wudu and it needs to be cleaned from the clothes. But there is no dalil on that. We ask this question: did the woman during the time of Rasulullah have this or not? So why Rasulullah didn't speak about it? Umm Sulaym asked about the dream and what, So how come they asked about these details and did not feel shame to ask, shy to ask, and now they don't ask about this which is common? And he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did not speak. That means that it is not impure. It is pure. And it does not nullify wudu, it does not nullify salah. Wallahu A'lam. One more thing. If this thing that man or woman feels, which is white liquid or colorless liquid, if it comes right after thinking of sexual, intercourse, it could be the lubricating liquid which is impure, which nullifies wudu and nullifies salah. So for protection we say, if it comes right after thinking of this, or after touching a woman or a woman a man like that, then better to come off the salah and go clean and make wudu and then pray again. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi.
One more question. The second question was, during the dream, if you see someone, probably your father or your beloved person or whoever in the dream that you meet in the dream, do the souls meet? Oh no, that was the question.
When the souls or the ghosts?
The
ghosts.
The ghosts, yes.
The ghosts? Allah, if the ghosts, I don't know. They need to ask Jim. No, it doesn't mean that the souls or ghosts or... No. It's not related. Dream is a dream. It has nothing to do with the fact. Dream is a dream. The consequence of the dream is other things. The interpretation of the dream is other thing. But it does not necessarily mean that their souls meet. No. Because their soul is in the side of death. Your soul is in the side of sleeping. So they don't meet. They are in a different life. And your soul is in a different life. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khair for coming and sorry for this long day.
They told me you started the
desk
on Thursday.
We started? Yesterday we started.
What is it?
What is
it? Yeah, what is it? Is it a book?
No, it's not book. It is topics. Like, they suggested we speak about the maqasid of Sharia. First meeting. Which is the aims of Sharia. Which is very wonderful and good topic. But yesterday, because the attendance were very little.
First day.
We just had open session. And maybe, mashallah, it lasted around 3 hours. Open session. With a lot of warm discussion. Right after Isha, 1 hour. 1 hour. Yeah, after Isha.
Not between Maghrib and Isha.
La.
Maghrib and Isha.
Huh? No, in the old airport Da'wah Center. Yeah.
How do you get there? Is it from the big roundabout?
Okay, when you come from the big roundabout, going towards the sea, yeah, you will have the first traffic light.
Okay.
If you stop by the traffic light, there is a mosque on your right hand, okay. And there is a mosque
after it,
parallel to it, after you go, you cross the traffic light.
Okay.
That is the one.
So you go on the service road from there?
After you cross the traffic light, you go on the service road.
Okay.
Right? And then you will have to make another right. And then left. You will see the mosque.
So you just follow the road.
You will just follow the
yeah. Second one, huh?
Yeah, the first one has 1 minaret. But the one we have, we do the electric thing with 2 minaret. Huh? Subhanallah. But it's going to be 1 week on, 1 week off. So next week we're not going to have a meeting. The week after. Inshallah.
Before the Kubri, right.
If you send me your email, I collected yesterday the emails of the people who came.
Yeah.
If you can send me email, because I'm going to generate an email especially for the group coming there. So I will tell you from like Friday or Saturday that we are going to have, inshallah, and I'll tell you the topic so you can prepare for it. They said from next meeting we're going to the family. Sorry.